Now, my son Sam plays soccer. I was in a conversation with the other dads there recently. One of them sells financial products like insurance. One kind of client he has is a couple. They've got a mortgage. One is the main income earner, you know, fairly typical scenario. So you're saying, what if that one dies or is so injured they can no longer work? How could the family get by with a mortgage to pay and no income? Apparently there are rules in his industry that require him to weigh up all their liabilities, income level of the person being insured, come up with an amount that's enough to cover everything. But really, that can cost thousands of dollars in insurance premiums. You might be better off using the money just to pay off your mortgage. I could hear that he cares about his clients. He gives them the options, one high quote to comply with the rules, then something more realistic he actually recommends. By being realistic and caring in this way, you might say he's using both his head and his heart. To put it more broadly, he has truth and love together. The books you just heard read, 2 John and 3 John, have these ideas of truth and love intertwined throughout the letters. So we'll have a look at it. We'll see some more examples of how truth and love look in practice, individually, but also together as a church. We're looking at both letters in one sermon because they cover similar ideas, so there will be a bit of jumping around. But I'll let you know which verses I'm reading. Keep a Bible handy so you can read with me so you know I'm telling the truth. So first, let's have a look at 2 John, verses 1 to 3. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. Not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Just briefly, the parallel, 3 John verse 1. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So you can tell it wasn't difficult for me to come up with a couple of ideas for a theme in this letter. Truth and love are coming out right from the start in both. So you might wonder, I guess the question didn't have to be asked in previous generations, but as Pilate asked, what is truth? Speaking generally, truth is information about the way things are, not lies, not mistakes. But John here is talking about loving people in the truth, and truth living in us forever. So I think he specifically has in mind the truth, the teaching about God generally, found in the Bible, and the truth of the gospel specifically. Now, you see this more in 2 John verse 4 as it carries on. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. So this truth John has in mind is truth that comes from God as a command and requires obedient action from us for us to walk in it. This all starts with the gospel message. The truth that we have done wrong and need God's forgiveness to avoid God's punishment. The truth that God loves us so much that Jesus died for us. The truth that Jesus returned from the dead. And the command to commit our life to God, turning from wrong, effectively loving God rather than sin. Well, if that's the truth John's talking about, what's the love he's talking about? We'll carry on, 2 John 5 and 6. And now, dear lady, I'm not running you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So the love John has in mind particularly here is Christians loving each other. As Jesus has said, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Obviously, there's a bit of circularity here. The command from God is to love, and love is obeying God's commands. It took me a while to read that one through a few times. But I think it makes sense. Love for each other and loving and obeying God, they go hand in hand. Now, there are a few insights here into what love looks like in practice. Firstly, love cares for people's health and life situation in general. 3 John verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Also nice to see love has a personal touch. And we're jumping a bit again. 2 John verse 12. I've much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. See the same thing right at the end of 3 John verse 14. Hope to see you soon. We'll talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Love prefers a face-to-face visit more than sending a letter or an email. But if you can't be there in person, love will at least want to send a hello via a friend. And love wants to greet people by name. These are things we do naturally for our family and friends because we care about them. Although my own brother and I do need to call each other more often. But as well as those who we automatically treat this way, remember, as Christians, we are called to love each other. To develop this sort of affection for our brothers and sisters in God's family. So within the church, for example, we do care for each other's health, like taking a meal around when someone's been sick. And we can be involved in each other's life outside of Sunday meetings like we're in right now. A further step, though, love is not restricted to caring about physical things. Love, according to John, cares for people's spiritual health, as well as their physical well-being. So look with me at 3 John verses 3 to 4. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Yes, John was an apostle, so he had his greatest joy in how people are going spiritually. But if we don't even think about how other Christians are going spiritually, we're actually not loving the whole person. In fact, let's go back to talking about your family and friends. If you're not considering how they are going spiritually, you're not seeing them as God sees them. Now, sometimes our love needs to pick up its game. At that sort of high level, that's the truth and love John was talking about in these two letters. The letters go on to show us truth and love displayed in two specific contexts, mission and ministry. I realize those words overlap, but I use mission to mean taking the gospel to those outside the church. I'm using ministry to mean how we care for each other inside the church. First then, how do we see truth and love shown in mission to the world? As we already saw, the truth John is talking about includes the good news of how to be reconciled to God. The gospel is the most important truth the world needs. In these letters, we see a contrast. False missionaries in 2 John, true missionaries in 3 John. We'll start with 2 John verses 7 to 9. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. As often happens in these letters of the New Testament, you get little hints of what was going on at the time. So these false missionaries deny that Jesus came to earth in a physical body. Now first, what they said is not true. He did come physically, born, laid in a manger. The idea that Jesus was not physical may have been tied up with a heresy that can go a couple of ways. Sometimes people might think our bodies are evil, or the opposite, might think that our bodies don't matter. Whatever it was, we need to remember the gospel is based on the historical fact of Jesus' physical death and resurrection for us. Also, saying Jesus didn't come physically is not loving. God showed his love by sending his only Son, who humbly took on flesh, was tempted in every way like we are, but without sin. And Jesus lovingly gave his own body on the cross. Denying his bodily sacrifice is actually to match up with what the Muslims believe. Now, obviously, John tells us not to follow these false missionaries. In verse 9 he says, don't run ahead, instead continue in Christ's teaching. It made me wonder, why did John say don't run ahead rather than just don't go astray? I think it's because some people have the idea that they're actually being advanced theologically. They think they're leading, but actually they're leaving the truth. I know someone like this, well-meaning and a nice person, but misguided theologically. For these people, we need to speak the truth in love, in the hope that God brings them to repentance. Now, sometimes you might be tempted to follow what one of these false teachers are preaching. Maybe it sounds more exciting than the old, old story. But some things are true and never change. Anyway, there are lots of interesting things to learn that are true. And the really exciting bit is putting the truth into practice, in love, in real situations with real people. Sometimes confronting, sometimes very rewarding. We'll continue at 2 John, verses 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. So the message is obvious. If someone arrives and has teaching that isn't the teaching of Christ, don't help them. Don't give them a place to stay. Whether they realize it or not, what they're doing is evil. For example, that person I just mentioned, who I know, who's misguided theologically, they have let conference speakers stay in their home, and these speakers are promoting false doctrines. Now, as I've been talking about some people being wrong, perhaps you felt uncomfortable. It can feel unloving to let truth divide us. But let me say, in matters like the gospel, it's not loving to stay quiet about the truth. If you let someone go on believing a lie, that puts them in danger, and also endangers others who they lead astray. So don't help them spread a lie or a mistake. It's not unloving to stick with the truth. In fact, sometimes it takes a lot of love to follow through on telling the truth. So that's how truth is important in the context of mission. How is love important for mission? Obviously, mission is loving to other people because we want them to be saved from God's punishment and to be in relationship with God as their loving Father. Beyond this, we can also show love to Christians who've taken on mission as their job and need our support. So that's what it's talked about in 3 John verses 5 to 8. 3 John 5 to 8. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. It might sound strange at first that John said to Gaius, you've got brothers and sisters who are strangers to you. But John is using brothers and sisters here to mean believers, you know, part of God's family. Gaius was providing hospitality for people who were on their way somewhere, who went out for the sake of Christ's name, in other words, missionaries. As fellow Christians, we support missionaries, so we can work together with them to get the truth of the gospel into all the world. Personally, I haven't had a missionary come and stay at my house, but someone I know has a holiday home and does let missionaries on home assignments stay there, so this can happen quite literally. And there are plenty of other ways to look after missionaries. There's one missionary organization that summarizes what we can do by using four words: pray, care, give, go. If you're not on mission yourself, you can love missionaries, firstly by praying to God for them, in your own time or with a mission support group at church. You can give to help their financial needs, regular support, but also one-off, maybe a little extra for a missionary family so they can afford a hotel for their holiday. There's so many ways you can show you care. Write an email, talk to them on Skype. It can be lonely on the mission field, so show you haven't forgotten them. Or if you know someone who's involved in mission here, just ask them how it's going. Like Andrew, Dan, Ashley at Kim or Prezi, who work with university students through AFES. That finishes what I'll say about truth and love in mission. So we'll look now at the next context that John has for us. How do we see truth and love shown in ministry to each other at church? Again, John gives us a contrast. We'll see Diotrephes compared to Demetrius. Let's read 3 John, verses 9 and 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those that want to do so, puts them out of the church. Looks like there was a clash of church leaders. This leader, Diotrephes, was spreading nonsense, so he lacked truth. And he was doing it out of malice, so he also lacked love. In fact, he had a different love. He loved to be first. So what was John going to do about Diotrephes? John was going to bring the truth. He was going to come and call attention to what Diotrephes was doing. Why didn't John say he was going to bring love as well as truth? Remember, it is loving to bring the truth, where that will get people out of danger. And a church leader who lacks both truth and love is certainly a danger to themselves and the church. There is a question you might have noticed, though. When we talked about mission earlier, we saw John saying, "Don't welcome false missionary." And here, Diotrephes wouldn't welcome John. So is this just the flip side of the coin? Is Diotrephes actually just doing what John said? How do we know who's right? Now, I suggest, again, go back to truth and love. If you were there, hopefully, you would have been able to tell that what Diotrephes was saying was nonsense, not truth, and that it was malicious and kicked people out of the church without good reason, so he lacked love. You can use these twin lenses to examine any church leader, at the local level, or the televangelists, the podcast preachers. Now, it is easier to distinguish these things when you have a shining example of someone who is in the right. Here, John gives Gaius an example to imitate. Have a look at 3 John 11 to 12. "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil is not seeing God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true." We're not told what made Demetrius such a good example, but a lot of people recommended him, even the Apostle John. They look good on your resume. And there's something more. John says Demetrius was well spoken of even by the truth itself. Sounds strange. How can truth speak up and recommend someone? I think John's saying the actions of Demetrius so clearly align with the truth that you can hear the truth speaking through him. Did you know, by the way, that you're an example? Whether you want to be or not, and whether you're an example to follow or an example to avoid. In love, remember your actions are not just your own business, they affect others. So align your actions with the truth. So that's what John was writing about to the lady and her children in 2 John and to Gaius in 3 John. What might John say if he is writing to us? Now, to put it another way, God the Holy Spirit is speaking to us right now through the Bible, so what can we learn to apply to ourselves? Right, so have a look inside your church notices. Is there a table? I forgot to check. There, yeah, great, thanks. You can use that, if it would help you, as a way of planning to implement what the Holy Spirit tells you today. I'll run through a few questions and ideas, give you some time to think and write things down. I had plenty of chance to get my own ideas as I was going through the sermon. So first, as a primer, think about which you tend to favour personally, truth or love. For example, maybe you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, and it stops you ever talking to them about Jesus. That's love without truth, and ultimately not loving enough. Or maybe you tell someone what they need to hear, in your opinion, without listening to them. That's truth without love, and ultimately a very uninformed truth anyway. So ask yourself, in what situations have I lacked truth? In what situations have I lacked love? Need to see some pens moving. Possibly shield it from other people. In what situations this week or this year will you have an opportunity to use truth? In what situations will you have an opportunity to show love? And what steps do you need to take in order to do something about it? Perhaps just jot down a code word. Also think about this church as a body of Christ. As you keep filling in the table, also ask yourself, how can you in this church better show truth? And how can we in this church better show love? I'll give you some suggestions. And this is not specific, I'm thinking theoretically. Perhaps there is some apathy. Do any of these sound like you? Well, I'm keen to hear a good Bible message, but it doesn't matter if I don't turn up to be with others at church or growth group. Or, who cares whether what's being taught lines up with the Bible, as long as it sounds compassionate? Or a bit more positively, who here can help you to grow in truth and love? Do you think you know the truth, but feel guilty about whether you're doing much to love others? Who do you know who more instinctively notices others' needs? What do they do you can ask to be involved with? Perhaps you feel love for others, but don't know the truth about how best to help. Who do you know who's wise with strategies? Do you lovingly realize the people you help physically also need the gospel truth? Who do you know who's good with apologetics, answering those tough questions people ask about God? Hopefully that's plenty of food for thought. That's all I'll say today from John's letters. You'll probably need to think about that table a bit more after the service or later on today. For now, let's just close with a prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the truth that you have shown us. We praise you for your love for us. Please, by your Spirit, fill us with your truth and love as we reach out to the world in mission, as we care for each other in ministry. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.